And from that moment, I had a great respect and an understanding, at least with some of the chants that have been sung for thousands of years with a sacred intent or a positive intent, had developed an actual field of energy.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And I'm so excited because we're going to talk to Sharon Karn from SoundWellness.com. And we've had her on before. And I wanted Sharon on. She's so insightful. Let me introduce you a little bit. She's founder and lead at Sound Wellness. And she is also the author of Listen from the Inside Out. And she has produced 8 CDs, including Transmutation, Shed the Negative, Woodland Song, and Blissful Chimes, and a series of DVDs all on how sound, music, our ears, I'll say, you know, how they react to our nervous system and in turn, our well-being. And throughout the pandemic, I listened to some wonderful chanting. We have an a cappella group here in where I live that just has recently produced some of the most lovely CDs that I found. They're chanting to be resetting of my nervous system. And I still listen to them to this day. So I invited Sharon on to talk about all sorts of things like that, why this and that. So welcome, Sharon. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh my goodness, Sharon. I'm just so delighted to be here. And I love how you started with chanting. And it's so, I love how synchronicity works because chanting has been my go-to throughout the entire pandemic. And just before, in November 2019, I started my own chant practice with a specific mantra every day. And I've been doing this every day since then. And I'm finding for me, it has been a stabilizing factor as far as just allowing me to find a quiet, calm, peaceful place to put my day into perspective. And I'm so grateful for the nudge from a friend to say, hey, how about we chant together and be partners in making sure we continue our chanting. And I'm just grateful every day for that opportunity to step into a regular practice that I didn't even know I needed at the time so much. So, and how beautiful that you found some chants that really helped with you, because they are indeed powerful. They're like tuning forks, chants.
Oh, that's a good way of saying it. I just know that I feel better when I listen to them. And what was interesting, actually, I found them through social media, but they are local to my area, which was even more intriguing and exciting. But I was reflecting back to a friend during the early stages, early 2020, and that we had traveled together to Paris. And one night we came across this square that was surrounded by three-story buildings all around. And it's about midnight, dark, and we're noticing just it's a delightful energy place to be. You just felt, you walked into this vacant square, very dark, but not, you know, not, you could still see a little bit. And out of, like I said, it was around midnight, all of a sudden we heard a clock strike. And chanting started coming from the halls of wherever. It was like being transported to some mystical place. And we were talking about how wonderful, and we can still reflect and hear those memories and feel those memories in our mind, and how soothing it was. And then, lo and behold, social media. Sometimes it's weird how synchronicity happens. Presented this group and I bought some of their CDs and I just really find them resetting. And on all honesty, I don't consider myself particularly musical. I had not thought of chanting myself. So let's talk about how do you chant? I mean, I listen to this and it's magnificent. I guess since I've never labeled myself musical, I never thought that I would do it.
Well, it's fascinating and how blissfully brilliant that you found just the right tool at just the right time, Sharon. Chanting has been around since human beings have been on the planet, really, in pretty well every single culture on the planet. Chanting has been around in one way or another. And one of the things that chanting does, depending on the word or the, in Christian, it's Amen, Alleluia. And then we have Shanti. We have many, many beautiful Sanskrit chants. There are North American chants of the Native people, which are so beautifully, beautifully shifting and resetting. And these chants, they shift the chemistry of the body in a way, and they shift the mind from where you are, especially if your mind is rolling around worries and thoughts that are not supportive. And many of us are in this place lately, is these worries and thoughts are creating a specific chemistry in the body. Well, chant is a way to interrupt that flow of thinking and perception and perceiving and allow you to reset, which is exactly the effect it had with you. Even if your mind isn't on worries and thoughts and in that kind of train, then it can still reset to a whole other frequency and vibration. There's so much that goes on in the body and the brain and in the connection to spirit when we use chants in this way. And I don't know, that's kind of a start for the conversation. One of the things that I found many years ago when I first founded Sound Wellness, I've received so many invitations to speak in the corporate world, Sharon. And one of the invitations I received was a team building event with Tibetan singing bowls with 50 librarians from a local university.
Oh my.
And so they wanted, instead of a drumming circle or some other sound circle, they wanted something with Tibetan singing bowls. And I thought, Tibetan singing bowls are another one of those kinds of sounds that can reset the nervous system. And so I thought, oh boy, 50 librarians, 25 Tibetan bowls, because I had one bowl for each pair of people. Then they had to play and share their bowl. They had to switch bowls with three other people to play a total of three or four bowls. So that way they got to meet a whole bunch of other people and teach each other the synchronicities of the particular bowl that each pair had. Anyway, I knew at the end of 20 minutes of lots of sound, lots of playing bowls, lots of conversation and fun and giggles and I don't know about this, all of that, is there'd be lots of energy released into the room, and usually it's emotional energy. So I knew there would be a heaviness in the space in the room from that exercise. So my question was, how do I clear this space so they can go on with their team building? And I just kind of sent that up to my soul for inspiration, because sometimes when I need an answer to a question that I don't have an answer with, I give it to what I call the universe and then wait for the response. And it came the day before, and the answer was tone 3 ohms. And I thought, how can it be that simple? And how can it be that simple?
I can't tell you how many times when an answer's come to me and I'm like, duh.
Yeah, that too. Well, it was fascinating, the whole experience of toning the 3 ohms, because at the end of the exercise, everyone came back to be seated The air felt very thick and heavy, the whole space. Everyone enjoyed the exercise. They had a lot of fun. And so I just mentioned that I was going to be singing, to complete our time together, I was going to be singing three ohms, and invited those who would like to sing with me to sing with me. For those uncomfortable with their voices, sing with your inside voice. For those who don't want to really take part in this at all, then I just ask that you hold space. And so I started toning the first ohm, and there were a few people who sang with me. And on the second ohm, Sharon, it felt like there was a breeze that came through the room from one side of the room all the way out to the windows, the other side of the room. And the room was completely cleared at the end of the second ohm. On the third ohm, it just felt like there was a lightness and a sparkle to the room and the space. And from that moment, I had a great respect and an understanding, at least with some of the chants that have been sung for thousands of years with a sacred intent or a positive intent, had developed an actual field of energy, so that whenever you sing Om, you have the opportunity to invite this field of energy into your space. And I had given this field of energy a very specific job to do, and boy, did it ever do it. So I gained a deep respect for the sound of Om that had been used in a sacred way for thousands of years. And now when I do online events or do any event where we're going to be singing or chanting or healing or using the voice or whatever, I always bring my old bowl out and sing three ohms, calling in the field to create a sacred space for us. And it's one way, my way, that I love to kind of create a very safe, protected environment to do whatever work we're doing together. I was so grateful for that experience, because it gave me a whole new respect for the energy that can be created with some of these sacred, special sounds.
Oh my goodness, that's fantastic. We need to take a quick commercial break. And Sharon, would you share with us what an ohm sounds like when we get back on the other side of this break?
You betcha.
Fantastic. Okay, everybody, stay on the edges of your seat. Listen to this quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y-C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. See you there.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm here with Sharon Karn from soundwellness.com, and we're talking all things sound. And right now we're talking about chanting and the interesting power that chanting has to change us. I find it changes my nervous system, calms me down even when I'm not chanting. But now before the break, Sharon and I were talking about chanting and her Tibetan bowl. And she's going to share with us what chanting sounds like and how we can learn to do it ourselves. So Sharon, take it away.
Okay. I always have my bowl beside me. This is an ancient Tibetan singing bowl.
Now, for those of us on audio, describe it. I mean, is it copper? It looks sort of copper.
It's actually made of seven metals, and copper is one of the metals in it. Copper, tin, lead, mercury, gold, silver. I think I'd have to check my list for some of the other things. It's mostly tin. It's mostly bronze, and this one is quite a beautiful gold color. And you can see the hammer strokes that
My goodness.
One of the cool things about many of these old Tibetan bowls is that in the shaping and the creation of the bowl itself, every hammer stroke was accompanied by an om, a prayer, or a mantra. And it said, so there could be thousands of ohms, prayers, or mantras in this bowl. And it said that when you tap a bowl like this, it releases a million prayers into the space.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So in addition to that, it
what
has
a build-up.
And we'll be adding our own. One of the interesting things, too, about using your voice, and I encourage all the listeners to use your own voice here, because sound goes through you, and your own voice is the perfect tool for creating even a biochemical shift in your nervous system that creates more calm. So singing om is a simple, easy thing to remember. It's believed to be the general hum that the universe operates on. It's the hum of the operating system for all of creation is believed to be. And so when we use om with an intention, it connects with that field that we've been talking about. So as I'm going to tap the bowl, and I'll do it a total of three times. And with each tap, following each tap, let's sing om together. I love to use the intention to create sacred space. And as we get to the third om, we'll go into a few moments of silence just to feel into the space around you, to notice if you've noticed a difference at all.
Sounds good.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the first tap and the first om. Om.
Delightful, kind of makes the hair stand up on. That's wonderful. And it's interesting that we're doing this over Zoom, that even, you know, how many couple thousand miles that we are apart, my dear, the connection still happens. Wow.
It does. That's a fascinating thing with thought energy and intention energy. It doesn't seem to matter where you are, that it'll have an effect. To me, the feeling of sacred space and that intention with calling in the om field, it feels like a warm blanket with that has a light tingle to it that just kind of wraps itself around me. It just feels delicious.
Absolutely. And from in my other world where I work with body language and nonverbal communication, one of the things I noticed, because I'm watching her on video, guys, if you're listening just to the audio portion of the show, is the deep breath through her nose that she took. So many times when my first urge was to open my mouth and take a nice deep breath. And I just know from my studies on breathing that through the nose calms the nervous system and through the mouth accelerates a fight, flight, or freeze. Because that's where, you know, if you're running away from that saber-toothed tiger, you know, your mouth is open and you're gasping for every breath you can get. So I found that interesting, and I made very clear, because sometimes with allergy seasons, et cetera, which I'm having some now, I tend to breathe through my mouth. So I was watching her on video to make sure, yes, a nice deep breath. The full ohm came from a nose breath, which is, I think, critically important for us to be aware that to get that nice long breath, sometimes you might be encouraged mentally to open your mouth and take a big gulp, but instead doing it through our nose.
Thank you for that, Sharon, because I've explored, I've taken singing years ago at university. I did 2 degrees in music, and part of that was a lot of singing and breathing through the mouth. And so I noticed with more practicing more for myself and breathing through the nose that it's more supportive for my own nervous system. And how interesting you made that connection between the mouth breathing and the nose breathing. Took me a long time.
Well, just a side note, a story about life before Autoimmune Hour was years ago when I first got exposed to body language and nonverbal communication was a man who turned out to be my mentor for 20 plus years now, was teaching at an event that I was at. And about 90 minutes in, I'm sitting in back and he calls a break, and out of, 75 people in the room, he comes up and whispers in my ear, "Let's go for a walk." And I'm telling you, that triggered the child in me, like, what did I do wrong? And I went for a walk with him, and he proceeded to tell me a lot about me. And I thought, like a psychic reading, I thought, well, this is just strange, but it was all from my body language, come to find out. Anyway, sat me back down and he whispered in my ear, if you'd breathe with your mouth closed, you'd look more intelligent. So what I was doing, because I was mesmerized by what I was hearing, I was so fascinated by his skill and his expertise that I was sitting there with my mouth wide open, like ready, as my grandma would say, ready to catch flies, just my chin hanging. And just imagine that, everybody, just let your chin drop and it with pure amazement and hold it like that for a while, and you'll see, you'll feel not so intelligent. So I mean, I've had plenty of lessons in learning to breathe through the nose, and not only because it calms the nervous system, but as my dear longtime mentor will say, you'll look more intelligent.
Love that. And what a great reminder to keep breathing through the nose.
Well, you know, I see a lot of athletes, and then we're taking a little side trip here, but I see a lot of athletes who understandably have trained to breathe through the mouth to get enough air to run and move and agile and all of that, and completely understandable, but it's become a habit. And so there they are at a press conference doing mouth breathing because it's a habit. And people will say, well, that athlete's not very intelligent. Well, no, they're very intelligent. They just have a habit of breathing through because of all their extensive hours of training. That's never entered their mind to shift and breathe through their nose, because mouth breathing is very easy. It's kind of a sloppy way to breathe. So anyway, our lectures on breathing. Okay, guys, thanks for listening in on our lectures on breathing. It is the most overlooked amazing thing. I mean, it's I think because we've done it our whole life, thank heavens, and it's on autopilot the majority of the time, we overlook the power that breathing has to shift not only our nervous system, but out of anxiety into calmness, and it changes our physical body too. How many times during this pandemic were you asked something like to put an O2 meter on your finger and see what kind of oxygen level you had? And as the oxygen level drops, you think less clearly. You can't think as clearly, mm-hmm. and all sorts of, your body starts to shut down. So anyway, there is a lot to do with breathing. So I want to just jump ahead here. Thank you for that. That really invigorated me as well. Calmed me down and invigorated me. So we can teach to chant ourselves even without a bowl, correct? We can just sit there and then quietly take a nice deep breath and make tones. Now, what happens? I assume it's okay just to play with tones. Maybe I feel like om one moment, and then maybe I feel like saying ah or some other tone, and nothing, like the world doesn't come to an end, right? We can just play with tones.
Absolutely, absolutely, Sharon. And also, as you're playing with tones, do so with awareness and notice. Notice whether the tone is a low sounding tone, or whether it's a high sounding tone, or somewhere in between. And if you're uncomfortable using your voice, then just hum. For example, if you hum a low sound and place your hands on your rib cage, because the rib cage, the throat, and the mouth area, and the skull are all amplifiers for the voice. And so the rib cage is a big amplifier. It's a large, the whole lungs, this whole area really amplifies the voice. And so if we hum or sing a low sound, try different ones and notice what sound it is that allows you to feel the vibration in the bones more than any other sound. And you can, so it's an exploration. Every part of the body is believed to vibrate at its own frequency. Your voice can replicate those frequencies in a way, but in a way it's sliding your voice around to find what that frequency is for you. Yes, the bones vibrate to a frequency, but the frequency for your bones may be a little different than the frequency for my bones. So hence, exploration and notice what feels best.
I think that's great. You know, it reminded me of a time when I was talking to Barbara McAfee, who's also into music and teaches singing, things like that. And one of the things she was talking about was moving your voice, because this was more about vocal for public speaking, but moving your voice from the very lowest part, like near your hips, all the way up to the top of your head, and noticing the different tones that happen, like the very deep tones when you're down by your hips, and as you get up towards the nasal cavity and things like that, the tone is completely different. That was interesting to play with, the understanding not only from how you're received when you're speaking, where's your voice coming from, but also it made me feel different as I was doing that exercise with her, of like, okay, now I'm just stopping and thinking and having my voice come from my hips, a thing where you close, at least I closed my eyes and really focused, okay, now how would I get my voice coming down from that low? And it was fascinating to me how your body responded very well to it. I was surprised.
Yeah. And now you can also add two principles when you're using sound that can help you manage stress in your nervous system. Because stress is an amplification. It's of heartbeat. It's an amplification of breathing rate. We have different things going on in the nervous system and the mind as far as hormones being released. So generally, low sounds, and when we're talking about music, slower rhythms can help to release stress from the nervous system. So when you're even humming a low sound, especially when you add your thought or intention onto it as, okay, I need to relax, so I'm just going to hum whatever sound and find something. Actually, that is relaxing.
Why do you say that? I noticed that there, I even do that on occasion when I hadn't never thought of it as a stress reliever, but when I'm thinking, it's sort of an activator for me to think clearer. But now it makes sense why that is, because I even know family members that do that. I thought it was just a family trait.
it's a wise thing for your nervous system to reduce stress. And now when you're driving and you need to stimulate the brain and the nervous system, so here we need to stimulate the sympathetic nervous system a bit without going into stress. So hopefully you're not in a stressful driving situation. It's this is something more for highway driving, which can be kind of hypnotic.
Yes.
So here it's humming or singing a higher sound, or if you have music, higher sounds and faster rhythms to keep your heart beating a little quicker. Your heartbeat will try to follow the beat of the music. And so if you have slow music, then it'll slow down your heart and you move more into relaxation. If you have faster music, then you move more into a quicker heartbeat and a stimulation of the brain and the nervous system. So even just humming a high sound, it does bring the sound into the sinuses and into the head when you're humming a high sound, and that can help stimulate the brain into bringing more focus.
And tell your family members what you're doing first. Okay.
Yes, please do.
if they're in the car with you, it's going to sound a little weird if that's the first time you do it. But it made me think about how many times if I'm on a long road trip, I turn, you know, rock and roll on or something like that and turn it up loud. And you know what? I sing along with it, which I'm sure, you know, gets the oxygen going because I'm singing. So that's forced breathing, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now mm-hmm. It makes sense why I like turning that radio up loud and singing along.
Yeah, many of us find that intuitively because it helps. It makes a difference. And have you ever noticed when people are in conversation and then you hear the sound,
Yeah.
Which in a way brings you more into thoughtful internalization as you're considering what's just been said.
Well, then I was waiting for the next thought from you when I heard that, I stopped, I breathed, I waited. It was like, it's an interesting how these specific tones can create physical responses. Now this is another side trip here. I'm just thinking when I mentioned that, I'm thinking how often some medical professionals make certain noises that can either be good or not so good. I'm not so sure I'd want my doc to go
true.
But you know what I'm saying? I can think of many times where there's been an inadvertent noise from a medical professional that either calmed me down or you know, set me on the fear factor of like, what that mean? That didn't exactly sound good, and it wasn't even words.
Exactly. We have a full, I call this the sounds from the body. There are sounds that the body makes as we go through our day. Sighs and moans and groans and hmms and all of those come out without thinking about it.
But now I read a study recently, and I'll get to your however in a second, there was a study about how a large number of people find that curse words make them feel better. Like they slam their thumb in the door or something like that. Now comes a curse word without them even thinking. And all of a sudden the body's released. And I was like, yeah, that's true for me too.
Yes, it is. and then followed by expletive.
Yes, and it's like, why is that? But I found it fascinating that saying a few choice curse words, even one, seems to relieve pain. It's fascinating.
It does, because it releases endorphins from the nervous system, and endorphins are those hormones that help the body manage pain. So it does, and moans and groans also are sounds that come from the body that release endorphins too. Fascinating.
Yeah, I think moans and groans are probably a little more socially acceptable than what sometimes have come out of my mouth when I slam my
True. Yeah, been there, done that too.
Now, I interrupted you there with your however. Shall we sidetrack to that?
It's difficult to become aware of these because they just come out of the body when you're not usually thinking about it. However, when you get to a medical office and the doctor is looking at a report and is going, oh,
Exactly. That's a good one. That's a good one.
There, that's a good, uh-oh, is even worse. Then all of a sudden, the nervous system is heightened into that fight or flight response in a microsecond. Mm-hmm. And so here, it's as far as someone in the medical profession, then I think part of the training that might be important would be how you respond to possibly difficult news in a report before you communicate.
Oh, absolutely. I have talked a lot to medical professionals about how you deliver bad news, whether you make, how you make eye contact to them, whether you make eye contact with them. Because I remember very specifically my diagnosis. I knew it was bad news the minute she walked into the room. I was like, okay, this isn't good. And she said the word, the diagnosis, which is a multi-syllable word, it meant nothing to me. I had never heard the word in my life. It could have been supercalifragilistic, but I knew it wasn't good. And it was because of the way she presented the news. And it was mostly when she walked in, I noticed she wasn't breathing very well. And either, so either she's in distress or I'm about to be in distress was what went through my mind because of the way she was breathing. And then, of course, you know, it wasn't good news. And it, I think if she had presented it in, it wasn't good news, but it wasn't fatal news. And I think if people learn to present news in ways where it's hopeful news instead of bad news, that a lot of outcomes would be different, because it wasn't preset in me that it was bad news. It wasn't like implanting some little seed. Instead of presenting it as hopeful news, that this can be overcome. It's unfortunate, but this can be overcome, instead of this, oh, kind of news. Critically important.
And that's really, really important. How wonderful that you're doing that in the medical community.
Oh, I just want to raise awareness to people that there's always hope. And there's hope that we'll get through this quick commercial break and be right back on the other side, finishing up with more from Sharon Karn from Sound Wellness. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're here with Sharon Karn from the Sound Wellness. And we've been talking about sound and how sound can be healing or not so, and what we can do to keep it in that healing area. And by healing, I'm using it as a more general term, such as well-being and wellness and well-being, keeping us there. Now, we've been talking, and I mentioned when you played the bowls, I felt a physical change. wanted to ask, talk to you about this idea of more than just the nervous system relaxing. I know I've read some of it, but you're much more of an expert on, there's some science about it changes the hormones in our brain chemistry and our body chemistry as the nervous system relaxes, right?
Mm-hmm. I love to call sound food for the nervous system. So we have junk sound, we have good sound, and then we have super sound. To me, junk sound is something like traffic noise. To also, there's good sound like nature sounds that helps the nervous system respond with the release of neurochemicals that shifts our nervous system. And then there's super sound, which to me is the sound of the singing Tibetan bowl. I'd love to share a quote from Bruce Lipton that talks about brain chemistry, Sharon. I printed this off this morning when I knew we were going to be chatting, because this is a level at which a level of understanding that we need to bring into our awareness as far as the chemistry of the body. And so I'd like to quote this from Dr. Bruce Lipton. He wrote the book Biology of Belief. I think this is from one of his articles where he was interviewed. I don't think this is from his book, but this is what he said in the article. The chemistry of the body's culture medium determines the nature of the cell's environment within you. The blood's chemistry is largely impacted by the chemicals emitted from your brain. Brain chemistry adjusts the composition of the blood based upon your perceptions of life. Your perceptions of life determine the chemistry of your blood. This is so interesting. And I'll go on with the quote. So this means that your perception of any given thing at any given moment can influence the brain chemistry, which in turn affects the environment where your cells reside and controls their fate. In other words, your thoughts and perceptions have a direct and overwhelmingly significant effect on your cells.
Wow, that's profound. And not surprising, the old adage of change your thought, change your life. It's very
change your body chemistry.
Change your body chemistry.
Very much so. And this is where sound can be so helpful in those two principles I mentioned earlier. Low sounds and slower rhythms helps to lower stress response. So what that does is it raises the parasympathetic nervous system, or activates the parasympathetic nervous system, and the brain chemistry of dopamine and oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone, immune system boosters. There's also serotonin that are released with music that can help to calm you down and help you feel a little better as far as activating the parasympathetic. Now, sometimes we need to activate the sympathetic nervous system when we're driving long distances. And in that case, we kind of covered that with lively song, that especially if it's something you love to sing to, you're also releasing, I call it a neurochemical cocktail from your nervous system and your brain, which is those same things, oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, immune system boosters, and many other neurochemicals that help to keep you healthy. So in this way, you can also use higher sounds, faster rhythms to activate the nervous system, to calm down the nervous system, are the slower rhythms and lower sounds.
I have a fabulous person here who works with what I'll call balancing my energy. I don't understand the science of it at all, but I've often been amazed at how I feel when I leave. And one of the things that she does that I want to talk to you about is on various parts of my body, she'll put tuning forks. Now, at first, my first thought was, that's a tuning fork. You know, what is that? Looks sort of like a surgical thing in a way. Luckily, I knew it was a tuning fork, but it was fascinating to me that I felt it more than heard it. It was amazing how relaxing it was in certain parts. Like, you know, I was having a shoulder, kind of a really tight shoulder, and she put a specific tuning fork on my shoulder. And I was shocked at how fast that tended to unwind. So what we were talking about just now reminded me of the tuning forks and the energy release that happened. So Let's take a little left-hand turn there and go into this idea of how maybe we can do it with ourselves or find someone that's trained in that those sorts of wellness techniques that might be helpful.
Absolutely. And I so agree. And what a great subject. You can see back behind me over here is a whole shelf of tuning forks that I use all the time. And tuning forks help to tune the body and the nervous system. And there are a lot of different frequencies for the tuning forks that have slightly different effects. Now, because we're all wired for sound uniquely, those responses to sound are going to be relatively unique. There are some principles that, and some sounds that seem to have an overall effect, a positive resonance with 99% of people. And tuning forks are getting closer. HeartMath is coming up with new information about the nervous system. And one of the things they say about the brain and the nervous system is that the brain and the nervous system is a receiver and transmitter. It's a receiver and transmitter, and it's a receiver of frequencies. And whenever you place a tuning fork, I have a couple of them here, actually. Whenever you place a tuning fork on the body or by your ears, then you're shifting or changing the sound of your nervous system. John Ballou found this when he was exploring these years ago. He had access to an anechoic chamber, which is a completely silent chamber, no outside influence at all, completely dark, completely silent. So he'd spend time in there listening to his body and his nervous system. Then one day he brought a tuning fork in, and he came into the chamber in rather bad mood and noticed the jangly, chaotic sounds in his nervous system with the bad mood. Then he had brought a tuning fork in because he was curious. He tapped the tuning fork, put it by his ear, and he immediately heard his entire nervous system change its sound to the sound of the fork.
Wow. What an interesting skill to learn to hear your own nervous system.
It was fascinating. And so what a tuning fork does, whether you're listening or placing it on the body, is it changes the tune a little bit and allows the muscle tissue or the body not only to release energy, that emotional energy usually, that is stuck there, it also helps to stimulate blood flow, move the tissues, vibrate the tissues so that they can bring in more blood flow, more healthy ways to, or stimulate the natural healing ability of the body in those areas. Tuning forks are wonderful for that. They're wonderful for bringing a calm and a balance to the nervous system by allowing the nervous system to reset. Because you place a fork on the body, it changes the sound of that area of the body. And then you release the sound and the body, it goes back to its normal natural function, usually. And so the Tibetan bowls do a similar thing where the Tibetan bowl has a sound that vibrates, it vibrates the tissues. And when the sound stops, it allows the tissues to reset back to normal, healthy function.
Fascinating. Now, if I know you're in Canada, and so a ways away from many of us that are listening, what do we look for when we want to find someone who can teach us more locally so we can experience bowls and tuning forks and things like that, either learning for ourselves or learning or having it work with us? What is that called? What would we look for?
Probably a sound healing practitioner or a sound therapy practitioner. You may find some online sites that have lists of practitioners who work with sound. Some of the stores that sell forks and bowls in your area, especially singing bowls, the more people are becoming aware of the singing bowls, there's fewer places to buy tuning forks. However, more places to buy the singing bowls, you might be able to get a referral from them too.
Now, I know you actually teach people how to do this. Wellness.
Yes, we have actually, with bringing all of our programs online since we had the restrictions a year and a half ago, is that we've had people from all over the planet take our courses where we teach how to how to choose recorded music for that is engineered for healing. We teach how to use sound tools like the tuning forks and the singing bowls. We also teach how to use your voice, because that's something you always have. And that is a precious, effective tool, no matter what is going on in your world.
Absolutely. And we're down just to the last 4 minutes here. I know you have a lovely gift for everyone. And can you describe what that is and how we can get it?
I have a web link for a recording of what is called a nervous system balance. And this is a series of four tuning fork sounds, Sharon. This protocol was developed by John Ballou. And I recorded all of his protocols, actually, because I found that they're effective with the forks by your ears listening to them. They're also effective listening to the recording. So there are four tuning fork sounds on this recording. The first is what's called a perfect fifth, which is two forks. If you're wearing earbuds, it's one in each ear. Then you hear it again with the sound switched. This helps to balance the brain. The sound of the perfect fifth also stimulates an essential cycle, natural cycle in your cells for health, the nitric oxide cycle. So that's the first sound. And then there's another pair of sounds that is called a perfect fourth, and that helps to calm the mind. And then the third sound is called a major sixth, which in this case brings inspiration. And then it ends again with the perfect fifth sound, the first sound. So we have a full circle of stimulating a natural cycle for health, very physical. Calming the mind is the second sound. Bringing inspiration is the third sound. And then coming full circle to calming the nervous system.
And where can we get that?
It's at soundwellness.com/balance, BALANCE. It's about a 4 minute track. You only need to listen once a day. And that'll set you up pretty well all the time for a whole day.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And any final thoughts, Sharon, before we have to say goodbye?
Oh my gosh. I would say chant or hum. Find a sound. Be aware of the sounds around you. However, find the sounds that help you just feel marvelous.
Now, there are sounds that from childhood even that I still resonate with. My first thought was going to be triggered by, because that's true too, but I like the idea of resonating with them. One of them, and we don't have time to go into it, but I find that songs from my childhood right now, as I'm aging, I enjoy those. I still enjoy those more than I enjoy what I'll say current music. So it's fascinating to me. Everyone, that's Sharon Karn. She's the founder and lead at Sound Wellness. She is also the author of Listen from the Inside Out and has produced 8 CDs, including Transmutation, Shed the Negative, Woodland Song, and Blissful Chimes, and also a series of DVDs. And you can see just a wealth of knowledge about how sound can help our wellness and our well-being. So thank you very much, Sharon, for sharing this hour with us.
Thank you for having me back, Sharon. I love our conversations always.
Oh, I do too. I'm always learning so much, and I look forward to ways that we can help our well-being and our wellness. And they're simple, completely free, and things that can help us and help others around us develop a more blissful, happy life. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another new episode. Join us over at Understanding Autoimmune at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Understanding Autoimmune. And see you next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.